Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay, WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. Station ID at the top of the hour. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I am Pastor Marcia. Along with me today are two of our radio team members who were actually members of my church in Indiana many years ago that I pastored in Newcastle, Indiana. And that's Cindy Logan and Betty Thomas. And it's always a joy to have you two on. And you two have known each other for many, many years also. And there's such joy in knowing people and having long years of knowing and trusting where they're coming from and what they believe. And you know, Cindy, you were mentioning a minute ago the importance of living a day on our daily life and making the most of each day, weren't you? Do you want to comment on that one more time before we get into this next song?
I'm a firm believer in doing that. Because you don't know if that's going to be your last day. You know?
That's right.
We
don't know.
We don't know. And we see it evident more and more with the passing of our loved ones. And Memorial Day brought all those thoughts to me. You know, I lost my brother a couple years ago, younger than I am.
Yeah.
And, you know, you start thinking the reality of these things maybe be your last day and trying to just enjoy loving your family and help, you know, we help each other as a family, and I see more and more how reaching out to each other instead of, like, what, you know, if you need something, I'm here for you, instead of the bickering and, you know, the selfishness and all that we see so much in families today, because everybody's all about me.
That's right.
But it's letting go of me, letting go of yourself and your selfishness, and looking at someone else and really looking to see what it is they do need.
That's right. Amen.
Without having to ask, you know, or ask them. You know it's a need if you pay attention.
Right.
So I think God is opening my eyes to the awareness that my spirit is showing me more and more what it is a person is going through or needs, and that's those opportunities that you were talking about.
Yes.
And when you're in tune with Him, He will put those people before you and actually show you what is needed.
Amen, He will.
In that prayer or in that conversation.
Absolutely.
And that's where we do become more like Jesus. And we have to let go of ourselves and listen to what He's trying to say in our spirit.
Amen.
About that person.
And, you know, it's okay to share with people, you know, the signs of the times are very strong now. In so many ways that we are living more than likely in the last days, whatever that might mean. We are not here to predict when Jesus is coming back. In fact, He says no one's going to know exactly. There's been a lot of people try to predict it through the years, and they've all been wrong because we're still here. But the bottom line is Jesus is coming back, and He's coming back soon, and He's coming back for people that want to be what He wants them to be and want to accomplish His will on this earth before He comes back. Betty, I want you to comment on that before we do this song, one of my favorites, The Days of Elijah, because that's what we are in. Go ahead.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
That is a great song.
Go ahead, Betty.
One of the things that God wants us to be is more Christ-like, and by being more Christ-like, it gives us an opportunity to be where we normally wouldn't be. And I know that sounds like a strange comment, but sometimes when we step out of our comfort zone and we step out in faith,
right,
and we know, okay, God, I'm out here on deep waters and I have no idea why I'm out here, but I know that You're with me. And that's where faith and trust come in, knowing Christ.
Amen.
And knowing Him more and more and more.
Amen. So this song, Days of Elijah, says, you know what? It's time. It's harvest time. It is time to get our minds and our hearts in gear for the coming of the Lord. And the chorus said, behold, He comes. Here He comes. He's coming. And dear listeners, Jesus is coming back probably sooner than we think, and let's be prepared. Amen.
There is no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold.
Playing here, playing air drums in the control room right now, girls. I tell you what, just that song just gets me. Betty, what's that do to you? Woo!
That's a toe tapper.
It's a great.
That'll make you get up and do a little Holy Spirit dance.
Doesn't it?
Awesome.
It is. It is. So we know that we really need to take this seriously. Jesus is coming back. And verse 42 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, this image of planting a dead seed and raising a live plant is a mere sketch at best, but perhaps it will help in approaching the mystery of the resurrection body. But only if you keep in mind that when we're raised, we are raised for good, alive forever. The corpse that's planted is no beauty, but when it's raised, it's glorious. Put in the ground weak, comes up powerful. The seed sown is natural, the seed grown is supernatural. Same seed, same body, but what a difference from when it goes down in physical mortality to when it is raised up in spiritual immortality. Whoa. So no matter how weak we get in this earth, no matter how tired and sick some people are, some of our listeners may be battling terminal illness right now or serious weakness in your body. Be assured, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you are living each day trying your best to do what he would have you do, letting him cleanse you from things that the Holy Spirit shows you that you need to be forgiven for. If you are trying your best to live and do what Jesus wants, one of these days you're going to have that glorious resurrected body. Cindy, talk to me about that. I don't know about you, but you just described your achiness, or whatever it is, your lack of strength sometimes. That glorious resurrected body is going to be pretty wonderful.
Yes, I can only imagine. I'm like you. I'm picturing myself when I was that age, you know, and how dark my hair was and how it would grow then, and, you know, all those beautiful things that we cherished in our youth.
Right.
It's like a fairy tale. It's almost like unbelievable, the supernatural side of what's really going on. In our lives, it's so hard to fathom, probably for the average person.
Right.
It seems unbelievable.
It is. It's just, it's amazing. It's wonderful.
Like, just raised up with a superpower. I'm thinking superhero, like Superwoman.
There you go.
Wonder Woman. That's what I'm thinking of.
Wonder Woman. You know.
Oh, man.
You're right. Through the years, I've been very blessed in Indiana and in Florida to be the pastor or the person that they've asked to do a funeral or a wedding. And I've done so many funerals, and I've been at the bedside of so many that have gone to be with Jesus. And there's so many stories I could sit here and tell. But I can tell you that almost to every single one, but for, I will say, the majority of these people that I have been by their bedside, many of them in Indiana and many of them in Florida, including my parents, both my mom and my dad, when they were approaching the last few minutes or the last few seconds of their lives, I have seen with my eyes over and over again the recognition from that person who is passing into eternity. I have seen on their face, I have heard sometimes from their lips, Jesus. Sometimes I've heard praise God. Sometimes I've heard, oh, Jesus. I can't begin to tell you the number of things I've heard through the years. But the one universal thing is there is a joy. There is a peace. There is a smile. There is a wow type of an expression that comes on these faces. And I've got to tell you this one real quickly right here because I feel led of the Holy Spirit to tell you. Many years ago, I'm a realtor also, and many years ago I sold a young couple a house in Tampa. And they went on to have a family, and I sold them another house, sold their house, sold them another house. This went on through the years for maybe 15, 20 years. Maybe 15 years. And then one day, I'd kept in contact with them, and they were friends of mine by then. And one day, I got a call from the husband. His name was TK. And he said, would you meet me for lunch? And I said, sure. I just thought he was going to want to talk to me about investments or whatever. And we went to lunch, and I'll never forget that day as long as I live. And he had been a big Navy guy, and had spent time in other countries in the Navy. And he said, I've just been given the diagnosis that I'm dying, and I have liver cancer, and there's nothing that can be done. And he said, I want you to pray with me, and I want you to help me through this. And to make a very long story short, that I could go on for many minutes on this whole family, this young family, and by then the kids were maybe 5 and 7, something like this. It was a long, many months of all kinds of treatments and et cetera. But it came to a day when I was called by the family to come quickly to the house. And when I got to the house, then the driveway, the women were kind of there, the mothers, the aunts, the sisters, kind of in the garage. And I could hear, when I opened the car door and stepped out, I could hear this terrible screaming. And it was TK, and I knew it was. And they said, please, go quickly. And I went into the house, and all the men were gathered in the living room, the fathers, the brothers, the sons, whatever. And I said to the hospice nurse, what's the matter? And she said, I ran out of morphine and I've called for more, but we can't get it for a while and he's suffering. And I went to his bed and he looked at me and I said, and I grabbed his arm and I said, TK, are you ready to go meet Jesus? Because he was ready for and had been for a while. And he said, yes. And I said, then we need to let you go. Now he suddenly stopped screaming entirely. And he said, okay, or something like that. I don't know. Or maybe he just nodded. It's been a little while ago. But anyway, by then it's silence because the screaming had stopped. So all of the family members, maybe 20 people at least, came rushing into the family room where his hospital bed was, and they gathered around. And they were crying. And I said, and not talking to them, talking to him, are you ready to meet Jesus? Yes. And I knew in my spirit that he was ready to go right then. And I said, then go, because we're right here and it's okay. You need to go. And he looked up and he got the biggest grin on his face. I mean, smile from ear to ear, this handsome, handsome man. He looked up and he saw Jesus and he was gone. And I'll tell you, it was life-changing to see his reaction. It was also life-changing to do his funeral where there were hundreds of people there, Navy friends, all kinds of people, and to give that invitation for people to accept Jesus was one of the highlights of my life, really. And that story fits in right here because eternity is real. And when we draw our last breath, we are going to see Jesus and we're going to be in his presence immediately and for all eternity. It's hard for me to tell that story without crying. Betty?
Choke me up.
What?
I don't know.
It choked me up, I said.
It's one of those things that when you lose someone or you set with them and they tell you they want to go home.
Oh,
like my dad did.
Right.
And or you see angels.
Yes.
And Jesus.
Yeah.
Standing around there, seeing
right.
him in the spirit.
Yes.
And I know this may sound strange to some people.
Yeah, I've seen them too.
But you know that Jesus welcomes you home.
Right.
And that's when he says, I love you so much.
Yes.
And I'm so glad that you're home. And I was looking through the Word of God this morning, and I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine.
That story just broke me up.
That's all right.
It's talking in Corinthians. Hold on a minute. I just lost it. It talks about our resurrection bodies in heaven.
Yes.
Are God-made.
Right.
Not man-made.
Right.
Handmade.
Right.
And that we will get to see the face of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That the times that we've prayed and we've wondered, God, where are you? That he's there with us. He loves us no matter what. And when we do get to heaven, our bodies are so beautiful. And this
yes.
It's in 2 Corinthians 5:1.
Yes.
It says, for instance, we know that when these bodies of ours are taken down like tents and folded away, they will be replaced with resurrected bodies.
Ooh, amen.
And we'll never have to relocate our tents again. Because, and it's just like, I want... We're talking down in Florida what we want our mansions to look like.
Right.
And, you know, I want just a small, quaint little log cabin uh-huh. on a lake. On a lake. It has to be water.
Right.
And there has to be animals.
Right.
And all of this.
Right.
It's just, this is what happens when you talk about heaven and you talk about you have so much love for God and that you want... He wants you to be happy here.
Amen.
But you will be much more happy when you're in heaven.
Oh, yes, you will.
And I'll be able to see Grayson. And I'll
That's
be able
right.
to see my,
yes.
all of the relatives that I don't even know I had because I know I'm adopted.
Right.
So maybe they'll be there. They'll be
of
there
course.
Too.
Yes.
But everybody that has left here will be there.
Amen.
And will be standing beside Jesus saying, welcome home. Your child, welcome home.
Amen. Woo! Cindy, we're going to get your take on all that right after this song.
Woo!
Here I Am by the group Down Here.
Sometimes your calling comes in dream. Sometimes it comes in the spirit's breeze. Yeah. You reach for the deepest hope in me and call out for the things of eternity. But I'm a man of dust and stains. You move in me so I can say, failures and upset plans test my faith and leave me with empty hands. Are you not the closest when it's hardest to stand? I know that you will finish what you began. And these broken parts you redeem, become the song that I can't sing. Here I am, Lord, send me. All of my life I make an offering. Here I am, Lord, send me. Somehow my story is a part of your plan. Here I am.
Oh, well, by the thought of my weakness, wanna live my life as an offering.
Praise God. Here I am. Somehow my story is part of your plan. And it is, my dear listener. Your life, your story is part of God's plan for your life and for other people. And it's time to realize the importance of your story and where God has you right now. Cindy, talk to us.
Well, you know, and the thing about that, your story as it's being written, as we live it.
Yes, yes.
It's a never-ending story.
That's right.
I have found. It's progress. God takes you from one place to another, one situation to another, maybe one city to another. You know, he uses you continuously as he develops you and sheds you of your yourself, peels you away, as I look at it, like onion layers, just
right.
Takes away and strips
yes.
you of all that stuff that you need to get rid of, and that's a process of
it is.
Continuous.
Yes.
So he never stops working on us to reach that place where he wants us to be. But along the way, he uses us where he has us.
Amen.
And that's, you know, like we're saying, bloom where you are. Wherever he has you, there's an opportunity that he has in store for,
exactly.
you, for that particular situation or time in your life. And sometimes we think this is, you know, never going to end. You know, things are never going to change. But believe me, listeners, God can change the situation in a day.
Right.
Entirely put you somewhere else that you didn't expect to be.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we don't know what our life events are going to do to affect other people, just like TK and that story I just told. When I first met that young couple, he was just out of the Navy. They were just pregnant with their first child. Who would have known where that whole situation would go? And, you know, Betty, I think it's time for each of us to evaluate our lives and realize that we're on a path towards eternity. Are you on a path towards heaven, or are you on a path towards hell? I mean, there's only two choices. There's not an in-between, well, I'll just kind of play it safe and I won't plan on either place. It's not going to be like that. Betty, you want to talk to us about that?
Yes. One of the things that we have to remember is is that sometimes our days are numbered, and we've got to quit being mediocre.
Exactly.
We have got to either be hot or cold. It's just like, do I go to heaven? Do I go to hell?
Right.
Well, I'll have time to do that. It's just like back in October, I had no idea that I was going to have bypass surgery. And it was a little scary, but God was with me.
And very shocking,
but,
really.
Yes, it was. I think it was to a lot of people.
It was to me.
Self.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I had to consider is have I done enough, God? What am I supposed to do now? And his words were, trust me.
Amen.
I got myself out of a mediocre state of thinking that, not that I'm going to live forever, but that, you know, I'm going to live to see my grandson and my granddaughter, you know, get married, go to college, you know, yada, yada, yada. I may not have that time. So I have to make the time today.
Right.
To be the best that I can be.
Amen.
And know that God is with me no matter where I go or what I do.
Right.
But I have to make the choice. I have to understand that I may not be here tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come.
That's exactly right.
It's time to get off of your haunches. It's time to be prepared. And if you died today, and this is what you always say before the prayer of, you know, for salvation.
Right.
If you died today, where would you go?
Where would you go? Right.
Where would you go? Where would I go? Well, I hope and pray that I've been good enough that I would say, okay, God, if you're taking me today, I want to go upstairs. I don't want to go downstairs because I don't particularly like really hot situations. But it comes to a point, Pastor, where we have to say, just like you say every time on the radio for salvation, if you died today,
right,
where would you go? And we have to take that very, very, very seriously and say, well, I'll wait and I'll do it tomorrow. Maybe
it's we may not have tomorrow.
We may not have tomorrow. And I know that sounds very mean and contrite, but it's the truth.
Well, with that said, that's a perfect intro to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51, and it says this. Let me tell you something wonderful, a mystery. This is Paul talking. I'll probably never fully understand. We're not all going to die, but we are all going to be changed. You hear a blast to end all blasts from a trumpet, and in the time that you look up and blink your eyes, it's over. On signal from that trumpet from heaven, the dead will be up and out of their graves, beyond the reach of death, never to die again. At the same moment and in the same way, we'll all be changed. In the resurrection scheme of things, this has to happen. Everything perishable taken off the shelves and replaced by the imperishable. This mortal will be replaced by the immortal. Then the saying will come true. Death will be swallowed up by triumphant life. Who got the last word, O death? O death, who's afraid of you now? Whoa. I love those verses in 1 Corinthians 15. In fact, I use those in almost every funeral I do. Because one of these days, death and all of the disease and all of that is going to be gone. And we will be facing eternal life or eternal damnation. Cindy, talk to us.
I'm speechless. Who would not want to choose heaven, life eternal and a new body and health and strength and just glorious living? Who would not want to choose
people
that?
Who don't want to think about it, people who don't think that it will ever happen to them, that death will come. People that think that the Bible is a bunch of hooey-balooey or whatever. People that don't take their spiritual lives seriously. They just don't think in those terms. You know what I mean?
I think they do nothing.
They do nothing. They do nothing, yeah.
They don't do anything to get towards heaven, and they hope they don't go to hell.
Right.
But they just do nothing. They do nothing with their spiritual life. They're dead in the spirit, I guess you would say.
Well, Cindy, there's so many people.
They don't acknowledge.
Go ahead. Did I lose you? Cindy, did I lose you? Okay. There are so many people. We'll see if she comes back on here in a minute. There are so many people who believe that this is all there is. This is a common belief among humanity that life is just this, and all we have to do is be good and hope that we're decent enough people that someday we'll end up in a good place, if there is such a place. This is what a lot of people believe, and they don't realize that heaven and hell are real. Cindy, do we have you back? Okay, Betty, do we have you?
I'm here.
Okay. All right, I don't know what happened to Cindy's connection. But you can dialogue with me on that, can't you? That there's a lot of people that don't take eternal life seriously at all.
No, and they're skeptics.
Right.
They think that they have everything planned out for their own life.
Right.
And I know a couple of people that are that way, that they think that they can go their merry way and do what they want to do when they want to do it.
Right.
And at a point in their life, hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
At a point in their life, God kind of shuts the door.
Right.
He says, I mean, if they're actually listening, he will shut the door and say, hello, listen
right.
to me. I'm trying to guide you and direct you, but he's not going to push himself on people that do not want him.
No.
He wants a willing vessel.
Amen.
He wants to mold us in the way that he wants us to go. And even if it's life or in death, God never leaves us nor forsakes us.
Amen. Amen.
So we have to take that comment very seriously. You don't have your life planned out for you. God knows every detail of your life. He knows every hair on your head. You know, not to get off on the subject, but he knows you. He knows what you need even before you ask.
Right.
So why are we so determined in our life to, is to run amok, to run the race without him? I just don't understand. I don't understand why people turn him away. Have they been hurt?
That's part of it.
I mean, most of it, fear.
Fear.
You know, that culprit called fear. The enemy, the devil, Satan, whatever you want to call him. Does he have you by the neck and telling you that this is the way it's going to be? Are you listening to the wrong voice? Are you able to hear the voice of God? And these are questions that people need to ask on a daily basis. Whose voice am I listening to?
Oh, amen. Amen. Don't you think a lot of it is complacency? I think we have Cindy back now. Sorry we lost you, Cindy. Don't you think a lot of times it's complacency that people just get in the rut of life and think life is always going to be like this, and then one day you wake up and your kids have graduated from high school and now your kids are having kids, and then in my case, your kids that had kids now had kids, and and now I'm no longer just Nana Florida, but the Nana Florida the Great. Yeah.
The Great.
And you just look up and you go, whoa, I'm too young for this. You know, life is going very quickly. Cindy, talk to us about this and the necessity for all of us to be very, very serious about our eternal abode, where we're going to live forever. Go ahead.
Life does move quickly. I think of that Kenny Chesney song called Don't Blink.
Right.
You know, don't blink. I mean, in the blink of an eye, and as the scripture says, in the twinkling of an eye.
Twinkling of an eye.
Jesus will be here. You know, yes. You realize how quickly that is? I mean, we close our eyes, and before you know it, like you said, our families are all grown, and then we're sitting here, you know, what to do with the rest of our lives now that we've served everyone else. Along the way, you know, it's time to start thinking about serving the Lord and do the things that he wants us to do.
Absolutely. I mean,
I just feel an overwhelming sense of urgency.
Yes, yes.
You know, for all of us to do something more and contribute more, make life more meaningful, the purpose. People are always searching for the purpose in life. You know, what am I here for? What is my purpose? What is this all about? But I think as I age, God gives me wisdom and puts all those pieces together. He's starting to show me like a puzzle. Well, you went through that so you can meet that person, and now this person, you know, is back, you know, might be back in your life years later. Like you said, you never dreamed you'd be with that family for 20 years.
No.
But we never know when we run across a person's path what God's purpose is.
That's exactly right.
In our life, or what their purpose is showing up in our lives. So we have to take everything seriously. I mean, there's no time for playing around.
No, there really isn't.
You know, we need to get down to business.
Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. If you're following along with us in your Bible, it's really kind of across the page. Mm-hmm. Okay, look at verse 13. Mm-hmm. In the NIV, it says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. Boy, that just kind of sums it up. In the Message Bible, it says, keep your eyes open, hold tight to your convictions, give it all you've got, be resolute, and love without stopping. Doesn't that really sum up what we should be doing? I just happened to glance at that verse on the other page right beside.
We're in a battle. We're soldiers. We need to armor up and go to battle.
We do.
That's what it's all about. That's what we're doing, not in the spirit, in our prayer. You know, and it's easy to forget those things and what we need to do, I'm so lazy about it. It's like, yes, I know I need to be praying more in the Spirit. And you know how easy it is to just get caught up in our daily lives and forget that that's what gets prayer answered. That's what you need to be doing. That's,
right.
You know what the armor of God is. We need to get up every morning and put it on. I don't every day. I'm lazy.
Well,
I'll admit it. That's what's lacking is our diligence.
Well, I agree with you, and I also think that all of us need to realize Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for people that want to live eternally with him, people that have believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he lives on the inside of them if they've accepted him as their personal Lord and Savior. Jesus is coming back for a bride, and that's people that are ready to live the way God wants us to right here on this earth. That doesn't mean we're never going to make mistakes, because we are. We are going to make mistakes, and we are going to get complacent from time to time. We are going to get kind of off the path for a while. But when we realize where we're headed and the importance of it, it is life-changing, and it's time to get back on the path. Betty, make a quick comment here, if you will, before we go to this next song, and it's by Sandy Patty, and I bet you two know which way I'm going on this. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, we shall behold him.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
It's because that sitting in church today.
Right.
I got a glimpse of people, if he appeared today, what would they do?
Right.
Would they look at him? Would they turn away? That's where we have to become more resilient, more aware of what's going on, get off of dead center, get back and doing what God wants us to do is to praise him, to start bringing the harvest hands, be a harvest hand in your community, in your church, because there are people that are sitting in the pews today that didn't have a clue what was going on. People, we are the church.
Right.
We are the ones that are going to have to reach out and bring people in. We're going to have to go, sorry, this is longer than
no, go ahead.
North, south, east, and west.
Right.
The harvest is great. The workers are few.
Right.
It's time that we all became the workers that God has called us to do.
Amen. Amen. Could not be any better said. Both of you are, boy, right on today, aren't we, girls? Woo! We Shall Behold Him by Sandy Patty. One of the greatest songs ever.
The sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud. Mm-hmm. the angels shall sound the shout of his coming, the sleeping shall rise from their slumbering place, and those who remain shall we shall be changed.
Praise God. Praise God. We shall behold him face to face. Oh, amen and amen. Betty and Cindy, is there a dry eye up there in Indiana?
No.
Not today.
Oh. Wow. Doesn't that just bring it right home? You know, we're going to behold him face to face in all of his glory. And just all of the times that we have just felt purposeful, I mean, not purposeful or depressed or discouraged or sad or whatever. When we behold him, I mean, everything changes forever, forever from that moment on. It's never going to be the same again.
I think one of the things that...
Go ahead, Cindy.
The word that kept popping up when you were making descriptions of our disappointments, you know, the word insignificance kept coming to mind.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for those of us who have ever felt so insignificant, like God didn't love us or he didn't notice us or nobody cares about me anyway... You know, I'm unwanted or unloved or whatever, you know, that insignificant, like I don't really matter on this earth. To imagine that insignificant person will be chosen by God if you receive him to meet him face to face.
Amen.
What an honor.
Woo.
And, you know, and all those feelings, like you said, of those, from going to that those feelings of insignificance and depression and, you know, all that to that glorious, I matter. God chose me to be here this glorious day to meet him face to face. You know, that gives us something to have hope in.
Amen.
I like, you know, that gives me more hope that when I walk out this door every day and face those troubles, wow. Oh, this doesn't matter because one day I'm going to see Jesus.
That's right.
All this stuff is just going to not even matter anymore.
It's not going to matter.
I slap off the day a little easier, you know?
It does, yes. Betty, your comment on that.
Well, I think that Cindy is right. There was an old statement that when we see Jesus face to face, nothing else will matter.
Right.
There will not be a U-Haul trailer behind our hearse. There will not. We won't have to worry anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We won't be sick anymore.
Right.
We won't be bound to wheelchairs anymore. When we see him face to face in all of his glory, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess.
that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen and amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, the last verse of that chapter that we've been in today. With all this going for us, my dear, dear friends, stand your ground and don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. Cindy?
That's just confirmation for me on some things I've been praying about.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that's a good way to wrap it all up.
It is, isn't it?
Get busy doing the work of the Lord.
That's right.
And then realize it's not in vain. It's going to pay off. I mean, the harder you work, maybe the bigger your reward. I mean, you know, we work on this earth for promotions and awards and pay raises, and we really work hard for that stuff. You know, if we would contribute that much time to the work of the Lord, I mean, who knows what our reward in heaven and our treasure is going to be. We can't even fathom it.
Amen. I'm going to read that verse again, and now it's your turn, Betty. With all this going for us, my dear, dear friends, stand your ground. Don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort.
Amen. If we do a little, we can do a little more.
Yes.
It takes a servant of God who is bold, armored up, faced up, prayed up, to say, God, I'll do whatever you need me to do.
Amen.
There will be no hesitation. There will be a yearning in your spirit to say, okay, God, I'm on my knees. I need you now. If you need me, send me.
Amen.
You understand what it's like to be sent.
Yeah.
Called and sent.
Amen.
Again.
Yeah.
To be able to do and be the person that God has called you to be, that you've bloomed where you've been planted, even though we should have the faith just the size of a mustard seed, is believing and receiving and listening to what God has for you. If you don't think that your life matters, it does. If you don't think that you can contribute to the kingdom of God, God has another plan for you. He has doors to open for you that have never been opened before, but you have to be willing to accept change, maybe change locations or whatever, but God will use you if you stand, step forward, and say, God, use me.
Amen.
Use me for thy service.
Amen. Amen. If you, dear audience member, whether you listen live now or later, on our website or later on StarcomRadioNetwork.com, if you are not positive that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus for all eternity, I ask you, why not? Why not seal that right this moment in time? Cindy, I'm going to ask you to repeat the prayer after me. And dear ones, wherever you are in this major, big world, you can pray this prayer and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And know that from this moment on, you will have the ability and the right to live with him for all eternity. Pray along with Cindy. I'm going to pray. She's going to repeat each phrase. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
That he came to this earth and died on a cross for me.
That he came to this earth and died on a cross for me.
I believe he is the resurrected Messiah.
I believe that he is the resurrected Messiah.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
That God raised Jesus from the dead.
And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me now.
And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me now.
For anything and everything.
For anything and everything.
That I have ever said or done.
that I have ever said or done
that was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I invite you, Jesus, into my heart by faith.
I invite you, Jesus, into my heart by faith.
Come and be my Savior.
Come and be my Savior.
I am your child.
I am your child.
In Jesus' name, this I pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, this I pray. Amen. Amen.
You know, we don't always pray the prayer of salvation on our shows. I guess we do most of the time. But today it just seemed very important that we give the opportunity to those who have been listening to the show and realize that heaven is real, that eternity is real, and that if you're not sure that you would be in the arms of Jesus if you died today or tonight or whatever, that you seal that and make that commitment. Betty, would you just make a quick comment about that? And then Cindy, I'll come back to you before we wrap up the show here in just a few minutes.
Well, it says in Deuteronomy that do this because you are a people set apart as holy to God, your God. God, your God, chose you out of all the people on earth for himself as a cherished personal treasure. And one of the things that God wants you to know now is that you are loved.
Amen.
No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, if you accepted the prayer of salvation, you are saved. You are a child of God. No one can take that away from you.
Amen.
You stand again and stand firm and believe that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. Amen. And this is a very important day for any of you out there that prayed that prayer, because it's the beginning. It's the first moment of the rest of your life. And it is the most important decision you can ever make in your life, to follow the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Cindy, do you have a final comment here? And thank you, Betty, very much. Cindy, talk to us.
Just want to let the folks know who did accept the prayer today and ask Jesus to rule their lives from this day forward. Realize you don't have to do this alone. You're going to have a lot of questions. Satan's going to get in your ear and tell you that it's all a lie. And, you know, you're going to go through some times where you need some support and learn how to live the good life like we all do. So reach out in your email to Pastor Marsha or Pastor Jim with
sure.
those questions and get the support from our radio team and our church family.
Amen.
Is here to help you. So,
amen.
So don't go through it alone. Reach out and ask those questions and get the support to help you through this.
Amen. And I appreciate you mentioning that. You can contact me personally. My email is pastor@bohmglobal.com. My associate pastor, Pastor Jim, that you hear on this show a lot, his email is pastorjim@bohmglobal.com. Betty can be reached directly at prayers@bohmglobal.com. Cindy can be reached also indirectly through Betty, prayers@bohmglobal.com. So it's been a great show, girls, and I can't thank you both enough, because I believe it's been one of our most important shows of all time. I believe that, and I believe God is going to use this show in a mighty way in the years to come as it stays on our website. Unless, of course, that we're all with Jesus here sooner than we think, which it could be. So anyway, God bless both of you. And that's okay, too. God bless both of you. It's been a great show. And look forward to seeing you next week. We are live every Sunday afternoon on TANTALK1340.com and 1340 AM. And live. And also, you can hear this show again this Saturday and Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern on Starcom Radio Network. Tell a friend, and it's not far to Jesus. God bless every one of you. See you next week. To his side.
It's not far from here.